census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
You choose me?
I choose violence.
Come on, let's get into character.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 331 of the Throwdown Thursday podcast. My name is Patrick Rahal, but you can call me Patsy the Angry Nerd. We are here in the Pat Cave of Magenta Manor, brought to you by the Dorkening Podcast Network and Deadly Grounds Coffee. And I, of course, am not here by myself. I'm here with my co-host on the show, my co-host in life. She is the Baroness of Bordeaux, the Countess of Cabernet, the Mistress of Merlot, the Queen Regent of Rosé. She is the Michael Phelps of wine. She is the Real Housewife of Transylvania, the Queen of the Monsters, and an honorary Lizzie, ladies and gentlemen, Ashes Von Nightmare.
She is officially a filmmaker.
You are already a filmmaker.
Like, it's official.
Yes, over this weekend, which is pretty much what we're going to be talking about, just what happened this past weekend. If you caught our last episode, you know that we had on James LeMond, who was one of our partners, for the Dead of Winter Horror Festival, the first annual, and we call it the first annual because it is coming back again next year and several years in the future.
Bigger and better, yes. May I add. So if you did not have a chance to come out this year, say it just didn't work in your schedule, or, you know, it was too far away and not...
We had a few people who were under the weather and weren't able to make it.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, I would love to come, but it's not really worth all that travel for just one day. Well, guess what? It's now 2 days.
Yep, next year will be 2 days.
Saturday and Sunday. We're already in the planning stages, which is fantastic because Dead of Winter 1, we planned in 74 days.
Well, from the day that we got the, we officially were able to say, yes, we have this venue, which was Mechanics Hall in Worcester. From that day to the day that we actually had the festival was, 74 days.
So
a little over 2 months.
Right. So if we could do all of that in 74 days, imagine what we can accomplish with a whole year to plan.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
We had just, it was amazing. We were up in the green room and I was, while, you know, you and I were getting ready, because you and I hosted the event, while we were kind of getting ready and, like, you know, I was trying to have a little bit of a snack before we went on, because I knew it was going to be tough having an opportunity to go out and eat or anything during our hosting duties. But our good friend Jess Rubin, who just started Carts and Crafts as a craft service / catering company, she did all the catering and craft services, obviously. And we were up in the back room, in the green room, in the back of that, talking with some of the vendors who were just astonished. They're like, we have never come to an event. We've never had a vendor table at an event where we were fed. And it wasn't just food. It was breakfast and, you know, snacks and then a full lunch spread. And Jess happened to be up there while this young lady was talking, and she's like, wow, I'm so excited that there's actually gluten-free options, because so many times, you know, people don't take into account other people's dietary restrictions. But Jess, whom I have worked with many, many times and is a very dear friend of mine, she was like, this is gluten-free and that's gluten-free and I have this, and for lunch, this is what I'm doing. Like, what can I make you? I'll get you something specific, based on what she had for the menu. She had a lot of different options, and, you know, she reassured this young lady that, yes, like, not only is this food available for the vendors and the filmmakers and the, I don't think it was the filmmakers, I think it was just vendors and event staff, not only is that available to you, but I will make sure that you specifically have something that you can eat that will be agreeable to your system. So, like, that was one of the big perks. Like, the cosplayers were like, this is amazing. Like, we have a whole green room. We have changing rooms. You and I commandeered one of the changing rooms because, as hosts, we had so much stuff. We had, like, three different outfits. We had, like, what we wore to the venue to kind of get ready and, you know, help set things up. Then we had our costumes for the event as Larry and Linda. And then we had our afterwards outfits, because we were going to go out to eat. We ended up not going out to eat because everybody was just too tired and sore, which we really weren't until we kind of stopped moving. Like, we slowed down and we were done. It's like, okay, we brought everything out to the car. Oh my God, I just want to crawl into a hole and pass out for a week. Like, I want to hibernate like a woodchuck and just sleep.
Okay, so you just said a whole lot right there. So I'm going to unpack a couple of things for our listeners.
Do.
Because you may be wondering, who the fuck is Linda and Larry? Linda and Larry, if you've been listening to Throwdown Thursday for the past few weeks, you may have heard the Dead of Winter Horror Festival commercial from Linda Sugarbaker Donovan and Larry Donovan,
Capricorn. As well as the Living Dead Ghouls podcast.
Yes, as well. Yes, that commercial was also played on the Living Dead Ghouls podcast. Those are the characters that we're playing in the... It came from the 508 Productions upcoming feature film, Stakes, A New England Vampire Story. We were cast as these characters...
Months and months and months ago.
A long time ago. And what's been fantastic is we've really had the opportunity to kind of almost like curate these characters.
Develop and refine.
Yeah. You know,
hew them from the rock and shape them into the gems that they are.
You know, to the point where we were able to host an entire event, be in character for almost the entire time, because we did go out and we, you know, during intermissions, there were three film blocks. So there were two intermissions. We were able to go out and kind of talk to people. And for a lot of it, we were still in character too. So we were able to stay in character for hours and like be super successful with it too. So first of all, kudos to us.
Yeah, because we had that little script that you wrote for our intro
right at the beginning,
then it was all riffing back and forth.
And that was because, you know, everything was timed like to the second, and we wanted to make sure that our intro wasn't too long, did not go into the, you know, did not eat into the first film,
but also wasn't
but we also
too short.
Want exactly. Yeah. So I figured, you know, let's make a script so we would know that everything. And when we sat there and we practiced and we timed it out and stuff,
and we fucked it up every time we tried doing it backstage. But when it came time, we fucking nailed it.
You want to know why?
Because we're pros.
Yes, because we are professionals.
That was not scripted, and we've been doing that for like a week straight, like nonstop.
Finishing each other's sandwiches. Stop it. But no, we want to take the opportunity today to kind of talk about the Dead of Winter Horror Festival, what happened in case you weren't there, and or even if you were, you know, kind of wrap things up, because this has been such a huge part of our lives for the past couple of months. And even before that, when we were in the very initial, like, infant stages of planning.
When
you
we're
know,
just like, thinking, like, what if we could do this?
Right, and like trying to find a venue, because you can't really ramp up planning until you have the perfect place to do it. And let me tell you, Mechanics Hall was the perfect place for this festival, and I'm really looking forward to returning there next year and for the coming consecutive years.
I really want to shout out their event staff there, who were just super pros. They were so good. They were so helpful. They were always there to, you know, help us out. I mean, the night before, like, I was talking to Olivia, who is one of the event planners, if not the head, like, event planner She was telling us that the night before was this huge, like, Brazilian festival. I'm not sure exactly what it is. Like, I'm still not remembering half of the stuff that I should.
I think it was some sort of, like, Valentine's Day dinner and dance, like, Brazilian thing.
It was definitely some kind of celebration, and they had, she was saying how they had, like, lights, and like the room that we, the great hall that we were showing our films, was like full of trees and like plants and like all kinds of crazy stuff. And like we walked in and it was just spotless, and all the chairs were there, the VIP section was roped off, all of our tables were set up for the vendors that were in that hall. So it was, it came from the 508 and Magenta Manor and the Friendly Filmmaker, and who else was on that side with us?
Bombastic Films.
No, they were on the other side.
No, they weren't. They were next to us.
Are you
they
sure?
They were right next to Magenta Manor, yes.
Okay, so who was on the other side? The other side was...
That's Entertainment.
That's Entertainment with the pink lights.
Yes.
I don't remember who else was there. We, to be fair, like, because I don't want people to get the wrong impression. We spent from around 10 o'clock until 4:15, so about little over six hours straight getting ready, and then down in the room behind the stage, and then in the Great Hall. We did not leave that space, so we did not get to go walk the black carpet. We did not get a chance. It took us 25 minutes to get from the stage to the bar because people kept coming up to us and wanting to interact and take pictures and tell us what a great job we were doing. Which,
to be frank, thank you.
We were doing
that.
A great job, and we appreciate people, you know, taking notice of that. But Linda and Larry needed a cocktail at that point.
Oh, Linda absolutely 100% needed her champagne. That was a horrible Linda. So I don't know if you can notice, but my voice is still kind of strange.
Both of us from, like, doing these accents.
We are recording this on Wednesday night. This is going to drop in a few hours. And, you know, my voice is still not as bad as it was.
Not as bad Monday, no.
My voice is still shot. My feet still hurt from the heels that I was wearing.
My back is... I was wearing gold sparkly Crocs.
Here's the thing. Worth it. Absolutely 100% worth it. Cannot wait to do it again.
We're going to take a few days and we're not going to talk about anything. We're just going to relax. And we've, like, since Monday afternoon.
Literally, yeah. We're like, yeah, you know what? So we'll reconvene in a couple of days. We'll have like a wrap up meeting where, you know, we could talk about
wrap up slash ramp up.
Yeah. You know, we could talk about, you know, what worked and what didn't work and what we can improve upon and what we would like to do next year and all this other stuff. Because, I mean, at this point, really, the possibilities are pretty much endless. You know, and we're like, okay, yeah, maybe we take a couple days, maybe we take the week, because we had all been working so hard, you know, just take the weekend. Yeah, no, we couldn't even make it 12 hours.
No, because we were instantly like, this was amazing. We all did an incredible job.
You know,
let's,
like,
figure out what we can
for
do
next
year.
What about this? What about this? So, you know, we have like a running list of ideas and things, you know, just to make it bigger and better.
And the best part is, like, we're so wrapped up, like, little things keep trickling out, like, you know, today all the photos from the black carpet were released, so everyone got to see, and like that's being shared everywhere, so we're kind of like keeping up that momentum. In a couple of days, I'm going to release the trailer for my latest film that we filmed on Saturday, like maniacs, the day before we had to film the thing, we had to host the thing. I will say, my favorite moment of the entire event was getting to introduce Ashes to the stage to talk about her film making its world premiere, the world premiere of her directorial debut in front of hundreds and hundreds of screaming, adoring fans. What was that like?
Wow. I think I'm still trying to process everything. I was just texting with my sister not too long ago, and she was just asking how it went, and, you know, and I just, it's definitely up there as one of the best days of my life. Like, and I'm not exaggerating. Like, it's definitely, like, I want to say top five, probably even top three. I can't even begin to fully explain how just unbelievably, like, just how cool it is to, you know, you've worked so hard on something, you've poured so much of yourself into it. I don't know if I've ever felt more vulnerable in my life. You know, this thing that means so much to me, you know, having people view it now, until this point, only myself and Patrick and James Lamont, who, you know, put everything together for the festival, had seen this film. Nobody else, you know. So to watch it with an audience and have the audience laugh
in the right spots,
like laugh when, you know, picking up on the little things and laughing when I wanted them to laugh, and having the reactions that I was really hoping an audience would have, you know, how they
people
would react
were
to
yelling shit
thing.
At the screen. You go, girl. Mm-hmm. Get it, bitch.
Well, like, I mean, that was my ghoul squad, like, you know,
but
showing
I mean,
up
still,
my living
still,
dead ghouls, and
like no one else had that, and yours was the absolute best reaction of any of the films.
You know, so it was just, you know, to be able to, upon being introduced, to be met with, you know, thunderous applause, you know, and that's not an exaggeration. It was
literally, there was probably 300 people in that room.
You know, and then to be able to kind of, you know, have a moment to address the audience. You know, we had just filmed this on February 3rd. 22 days later, it made its premiere. You know, like, it's just, it's been such a whirlwind. You know, this thing that I have been talking about wanting to do for so long. You know, filmmaking has been a dream of mine for a really long time. You know, I knew from a young age that I always wanted to be an actor and I always wanted to entertain, but it wasn't until like middle school, high school, when I took a film course, that I fell in love with the idea of filmmaking. And that was honestly thanks to John Waters. I watched Pink Flamingos and just thought it was the greatest thing, you know, because there's such a simplistic, you know, there's just something so simple about it, but at the same time, it's so complex, and, you know, you don't need all of these crazy big budget things to make a film. You really just need a camera and an idea, you know, and maybe a couple of people to act out like that. That's it. That's really it. And you can make you could tell a great story. You know, so this has been a dream of mine for a really long time. And it was something that, you know, I thought it would remain just that, like a dream. I didn't realize it could be a goal, you know. And over the past couple of years, we met people, independent filmmakers, who kind of took the both of us under their wings.
Many of whom were there in that audience cheering
yes,
you on.
You know, but I mean, these people who, you know, taught us things and kind of showed the both of us that, like, hey, you can do this. This is something that you can do. This is something that anybody can do. You just have to have the drive to do it and the ideas.
Yeah, and you don't, like you said, you don't need the fancy equipment.
No, I mean, it helps, obviously.
Yes.
As far as production value goes, but to be completely honest with you, as long as you have a good story, you know.
Shoot it on your phone if
you
have to.
And it's engaging enough. Right. I mean, there's, you know, film festivals have, you know, sections where it's like, oh, was your film, you know.
Mass Independent Film Festival has that as a category.
You know, on your mobile phone. You know, so like it's the possibilities are endless, you know, and when you realize that, like the whole world just it's like the Wizard of Oz when she steps out and sees the world in Technicolor for the first time.
It goes from sepia to Technicolor, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like that, you know, like it just like, oh my God, this thing, you know. I don't need to have thousands of dollars, you know, I can do, you know, something with what I have, you know,
like people
in my checking account, you know what I mean? Like I don't need a huge budget.
We haven't, you know, discussed this, but we shot this with a camera that's not, you know, a $6,000 Blackmagic or Red or, you know, one of those cameras.
I mean, it's still
no, it's a very good camera. It's a DSLR camera, but we also had like two ring lights. Like that was it. That was our entire like studio, so to speak.
I guess it two ring lights, witchcraft, some hot glue, and a whole lot of gumption.
Forrest gumption.
But yeah, so it's such a surreal thing. Like in that moment, I was so incredibly nervous because I've never felt so vulnerable in my life. And I don't know, maybe it's like the equivalent of sending your child off to school for the first time. You know, like
maybe
I've tried my best here. Judge my child.
Yeah, I can see
that.
You
know, kind of like that.
I mean, to compare it, because my first thing was just a few months ago. And, you know, I think we both had similar thoughts, like, is this good enough? You know, did I do, like, for yours, I knew you had a good story and you had a good script and your concept was amazing. My only issue was, did I do enough on my end as the cinematographer and cinematologer and editor to convey your story the way you wanted it? Like, that's what I was concerned with. And, you know, like with my film, when I had to teach myself how to edit for the most part, I mean, granted, Mike was there if I had any questions, but, and again, having to learn how to color grade because I had never done it. I had like a 15-minute crash course again from Mike. So like that was my, like I knew people were going to love your film. Like I never had any doubt.
But you know, my main thing was, am I going to like my film? I may have mentioned this like on air last week. I don't recall, but during the post-production process, the editing process, I nitpicked the hell out of my film to the point where I fucking hated it. I hated my film so much. I didn't want to submit it to anything. I wanted to reshoot it. And Patrick's like, oh no, like there's none. He's like, I already sent it off to James. So like, you're shit out of luck. Like, and James was like, well, I already put it in the program.
Yeah,
so
I had like 2.5 weeks.
And I'm just like, fuck, you know, like, ah. But there is something to be said about watching your film like on a big screen and with an audience that's just enjoy, because they're just there, you know, like I have to, we go to the movies to be entertained. That's
heartbreak
it. Like, you want to be entertained.
Feels good in a place like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes.
That's a flawless Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I thought she was here in the room with me.
Heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
You know, so, you know, we go to these places to be entertained. And so I kind of had to almost like divorce myself from my own critiques about, you know, what I did and what I didn't do. And it, you know, I enjoyed it. I love my film now. Watching it with an audience just completely changed everything. And, you know, nobody was picking up on the things that didn't work because they don't know what, you know, they have no idea. All they know is what's being, you know, put in front of them at that moment. And, you know, again, like people laughed. And they laughed and then they reacted to certain parts the way that I was hoping that they would react.
They loved your special effects.
You know, and like that's all I could ask for, you know, is to just, you know, I just want to make people laugh. I just want to entertain people. So for those 6 minutes and 19 seconds that my film was on the screen, you know, people were entertained and they were having a good time.
And it wasn't
and like,
just
that's all I could ever ask for.
But it wasn't just that, because I reached out to a couple of people who enjoyed your films, and I was like, you know, they run film festivals, and I said to one of them, I said, hey, you know, are you still accepting submissions? And this person was like, you know, I guess if you want to submit something else, you can. I was really hoping to get Ash's film, though, and it's like, that's literally what I was asking about. And someone else was like, I was like, you know, how about you? And they're like, I really want it for this festival instead of this, like the one that I have later in the year instead of the one that's almost here. You know, do you think I could get it for that? Not like, boy, I guess you could submit it. It's, no, I want it for my festival.
Yeah, so this is actually when we're finished recording, we're going to upload it and work on submitting it to some festivals. Mm-hmm. So it should start its festival run soon.
Well, it already did.
Well, yeah.
If you want to be technical, like it started its festival run 3 weeks. It was shot and edited and sent off in 16 days.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of impressed that I was able to turn that around so quickly.
You know what the coolest thing was, though? There were a lot of aspiring filmmakers in the audience. A lot of parents brought their kids to this, you know, hey, my child is really interested in filmmaking. Would this be a good place for them? A dad with his daughter came up to me and he was kind of like nudging her towards me, and I could tell, you know, she wanted to say something, but she was a little shy. So like the dad and I started chatting first, and then she got up the courage to, once she, you know, I mean, I get it. I have resting bitch face. I don't always look, and I was also still in like full Linda makeup, which is very drag queen-esque and very
think
like
Divine and Jennifer, Divine meets Jennifer Coolidge.
It's a really good time. But yeah, talking to this young person who clearly has a passion for film and wanting to write and entertain and whatnot, and you know, asking me questions about the process because they were under, you know, they were actually under the same assumptions that I was under when I, you know, before I even realized this was even an option, that you have to have a lot of money, that it's going to take a lot of time, that you have to, you know, do all of this other stuff that you really don't have to do. So, you know, I had mentioned in my like little spiel that I gave before, you know, the film played, that I had done everything within a month, you know, less than a month. And so they were asking about that, you know, the timeline. And it's like, I had the idea, but to be completely honest, like at the beginning of the year, I still didn't have a script. I didn't have a script, like a full script and shot list and everything until what, about a week before we filmed?
It was like that Saturday, Sunday.
I mean,
you started doing
it. I had worked on it. Yeah. I mean,
we knew what was going on, but you didn't have a script or a shot list,
you know,
or props.
I had props.
No, like written down, like
and you know, once they realized that it didn't have to be this whole drawn out process, you know, that you can film something in a day, you can film something in a couple of hours, you know, you don't have to slave over, you know, your art for months and years in order to make something, you know, you can do it in an afternoon. So they were telling me a little bit about a concept that they have, and they wanted to, they now want to make a film with their dad. And I just think that's so cool, you know, the fact that they went to this festival just being a fan of film, and like now they're really thinking about being a filmmaker and making their own film and seeing what happens. And being able to realize that at a young age, I think is just amazing, because, you know, I did not.
No, like we're still trying to figure that out.
Right? It's like I'm still trying to figure out exactly what I want to be when I grow up, but I finally feel like I'm on the right path.
Yes, I definitely think so. And it wasn't just, you know, this young person and their dad coming up to you. I had people come up to me and heap compliments for you. And then, like, they finally were able to talk to you. Like, you came down and, you know, you weren't only complimented on your filmmaking, but also your acting. You were told by someone who is a member of SAG that you are absolutely an actor.
Yeah, which, you know, again, like... having people come up and say things like that's really nice, and you know, I'm not going to lie, it is really nice to hear, you know, feed my ego a little bit, please. But for me, like, the big thing was just having people laugh, you know, like having, you know, people just had a really good time. And I definitely think I also found my wheelhouse too. I think horror comedy is, you know, I am a campy queen. And I think that I do it really well. And I'm not going to lie, I already have an idea for my next film. So I'm not going to say anything yet, but I have a pretty fleshed out idea.
Maybe write the script before a week before we shoot this time.
Well, yeah, I'm actually going to start writing the script this weekend. Thank you. At least an outline where I can put my ideas down. No, one thing I did learn that I'm never doing again is rushing the process like that. You know, I'm definitely going to give myself ample time to film and edit and do everything that needs to be done post production before, you know, submitting it
you and I both were just like, we ran ourselves ragged trying to get this made, and then rushing around like, oh, I don't like that edit, I don't like
and here's the thing too, right? Because it wasn't just, oh, my film is in post-production, it's my film is in post-production. Your next film is in pre-production that we both worked on. We were also part of a committee planning a horror festival.
Yes.
And then all of the other things that we have going on in, like, our personal lives and stuff like that we don't really talk about. But
job.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I also have a full-time job on top of all of that. So, yeah, if Homegirl sounds a little tired, it's because she is.
Yeah, really, and you have your other podcasts that you do. Like, there's so fucking much going on. Like, the Pat Cave right now is an absolute disaster zone. Like, it's like, oh, we need to record the show. Well, let me, you know, unpile all the stuff I have thrown everywhere so we can, like, get a second chair next to the desk. Let me clean off the desk. Like, everything is just an absolute mess in here because I just... have not had the chance. Maybe this weekend I'll straighten up, like, put my laundry away.
that would be nice.
That would be great, because I really want to sit on my recliner this weekend.
You know, I think my favorite part of Dead of Winter, I mean, obviously my favorite part was being able to premiere my film. In the third film block, there was just a lot of fantastic things. I mean, there were a lot of fantastic things that happened in, like, all of the film blocks. Like, that first film block was so solid. So solid. I mean, you had It's Mima from Michael Neal. You had Cup of Tea from Diana Porter. You had Priest Hunter from Skip Shea. You know,
you had the mayor.
Oh, and apparently the mayor of Worcester was there during that first film block too, coming to check out, which I'm so disappointed I didn't know the mayor was there, because I couldn't do my Linda Belcher impression, you know, hi mayor.
Ooh, that would be perfect for that other role, that voice right there.
So, well, that's what I was thinking, something like that. But anyways, that's a topic for another day. But that third film block, we had Killing with Kindness, Sweet Dreams, and then the premiere of the trailer for Stakes. And, you know, being able to see that Magenta Manor logo, like, three times in a row was just really fucking cool. But, like, I cannot tell you how proud I am of that Stakes trailer and how hard everybody worked those 2 days filming in order to make that happen. And all of the pre-production stuff, you know, the costumes, the sets and everything, like, you know, like, everything was just... Like the props. Oh, some of the props are just so fucking cool looking. That trailer came out so good. So good. It is visually stunning and terrifying. And I cannot wait to film this feature film.
Yeah. Like this, it looks so good. James promised us unlimited chicken parm. Ryan and I need to have a scene together because, first of all, the outtakes would be fucking incredible because I, as Larry, make everybody break character. Like, there was a great scene.
Not everybody.
I can make you break character.
You have yet to do it.
I haven't really tried. But I can.
Bring it on.
All right. So there was a great scene that partially made it into the trailer, but not the entire scene, where I was just like, no, not today. And then Erica couldn't hold it together. Because, well, to be fair, the first time she had no idea I was about to do that. Like, I just reacted. So the second time I did it, she still couldn't contain herself, so they had to cut that part, which is fine, because Larry's gonna be funny enough in the film.
But I think my favorite part of the Stakes trailer is just, and it's a collaborative effort. You know, Dead of Winter is a collaborative effort, and it shows what happens, you know, when we all come together to make something happen. And I just love that so much. You know, yes, you can go off, you can do something on your own. You know, but when you work together with somebody, you know, when your team teams up with another team, you know, and teams up with another team to make something happen, like, magic happens. And, you know, that's how Dead of Winter was born. You know, like, that's how we got the event that we had on Sunday. And, you know, I'm so proud of everyone involved. It was a lot of hard work. And we definitely succeeded because everybody had such a good time. And everybody's looking forward to next year. And I'm really looking forward to next year.
Yeah. I mean, what we've just, some of the things that James and I have been talking about for next year it's going to be amazing. Plus, we have some sponsors lined up. We're not going to tell you who it is, but it's 1,000,000% a brand that you will see, you know, pretty much anywhere you go.
Yep.
You can walk into any store and you will find their products. And they're like, we want to invest in you. And you're like, we were like, yep, we would like you to invest in us.
Please and give us your money.
We're just going to have more and more people following suit. We actually had someone reach out to us that we had reached out to, and they were like, we made a huge mistake by not sponsoring you.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently they didn't realize it was going to be as big as it was.
And I didn't think about this. James made this point when he came up on stage and talked to everyone right before the Stakes trailer dropped. But for tickets to have gone on sale less than a month prior, for a show that had no celebrity guests, that was just a celebration of New England horror and the New England horror scene and the people who are so supportive of everyone else. Like, it was basically just a huge rising tide that supports of people who support everyone else in the community. We did incredibly well. We sold so many VIPs. We sold so many regular tickets. We had people asking to upgrade to the VIP at the day of. We sold all of our vendor tables. Like, we crushed it. We had people like, man, I can't wait. Like, I want to make a horror movie and premiere it at Dead of Winter next year. Man, I have to get back into the studio because I have to make something to play here next year. Like, seasoned filmmakers, people who have never made films. Like, we are so excited for, you know, what this can do. Like, our goal was, you know, to kind of help people salve the sting of the loss of Rock and Shock, because we're still not over that. But we were never looking to replace it. We were looking to give people a different and new experience, something that maybe they've never had at a convention before. I mean, I don't really want to call it a convention.
Right, it's not quite a convention. It's not.
It's a horror festival.
Right, because it's not just a film festival. It's more than that.
It's a carnival of carnage.
But ultimately, you know, the whole purpose of this was to serve as a love letter to the New England independent horror community, you know, and everything that it encompasses.
And for people to show others in the community what they can do and network. Like, Jess had someone reach out to her, like, hey, I want you to cater and do craft service for my film that's coming up. We got cast in a short film the next day. Mm-hmm. I got a second script sent to me, and then I had that same person say, I want to work with the two of you based on the characters that you were playing at the Dead of Winter. I'm going to write characters for you in an upcoming project. Like, that's the type of stuff that we've been dealing with. And it's not just us, it's everybody.
It's, yeah, I say, like, you know, the story is coming out of, you know, what other people, what, you know, from other people.
New collaborations.
Yes, exactly. You know, people are like, hey, you know, this person needed somebody to fill this role, or, you know, either on set, like, as far as crew, or, like, you know, in front of the screen. And
I love,
like,
the camera work you did on this project. Would you shoot a project
right,
for me?
Like, it's really bringing people, you know, together in a way that, you know, we haven't really had before, which is wonderful. And that's,
and it's honestly 100%
the
point.
Exactly. Exactly. It's to show everybody. It's to show everybody, not just New England, but, you know, we really want to make some noise as to be, you know, to be like, hey, look what we're doing over here. You know, yeah, Hollywood is whatever, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
but, like,
New York, Georgia,
you know, but
Canada.
Like, we have a very rich environment here, and we have so many talented people, filmmakers, artists, you know, entertainers over here. You know, they just need your attention. They just need your time. Like, and that's the goal. That was the goal of all of this, you know. And again, just to kind of celebrate New England horror, like the independent horror scene. There's really nothing like it.
No,
it's such an amazing community. It really is. And, you know, the people in it, the fans of it, and I will forever be a fan. Like, that's just, I will always, always, always be a fan of the New England independent horror scene. Because I think that it is just so unique, and the ideas and the artistry coming out of this sector of the world, like, it's just, it's unlike anything other. And I think it's really something.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're just, it's just going to grow, and it's, you know, as this grows.
And to be completely honest, too, for filmmakers to have the opportunity to showcase their films in a place like the Grand Ballroom of Mechanics Hall.
Yeah, there were a couple people that were like, oh my God, like, they walked in like, oh my God, like, my film's going to screen here?
Like, the, you know, the pageantry of it all. Like, I'm not going to lie, that was fucking cool. Like, my film premiered there. Like, that's cool. Like, our friends' films played there. Your film played there.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, it's so cool. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love going, and I love sitting in, like, a small theater, or, you know, a room, like a conference room at a hotel, or, you know, some of these other places that film festivals are held. You know, I totally love going to those types of places too, and supporting people and doing things, you know, but there's something about this environment that just seemed really special. And it kind of was.
No, it really was. And, you know, it wasn't just... For me, it was getting to kind of perform and show people that, like, yeah, you know, we can act, we can direct, we can, you know, edit, we can score, we can do all these different things in the film industry. For me, it was getting to share the experience of watching you and being next to you as you reacted to the Magenta Manor logo showing up on the screen and your film playing and hearing the audience react to it. Because we had it flipped back in September and you were there supporting me the whole time. And then now it was my turn and I got to do that for you. Like, that was my favorite part, was finally, like, because you were like, so like, I hate it. Everyone's going to hate it. I'm so like upset with this film. I can't believe this is the best we could do. Like, you know, all of this stuff, like all that self-doubt that you had that got instantly erased when people saw the film and how much they enjoyed it. And, you know, all these people that were like, oh my God, that was so good. Oh, I was laughing so hard. I was in tears. Like, you know, we had one of our friends tell us that they were in tears because they were so fucking proud of you. And, like, that's what I've been telling people. I am so proud of what you've done. It's awesome. Like you had mentioned, like, there's so many people that are like, oh, I really wish I could make a film. Oh, I wish I could make a film. And it's like, we both finally did it. And we were in a film festival together, with each of us having our directorial debuts playing back to back in front of a packed house. It was awesome. And I know, I'm, like I said, I'm just really looking forward to next year. And, you know, I think everybody's really going to be very happy with how things turn out. So I think with that being said, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll just wrap things up and let you know what's going on for next week. So we'll be right back.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
And we are back. I know that was a little bit rambly, but I hope you enjoyed our discussion about the Dead of Winter Horror Festival, because, you know, it was a really great time, and we really hope that if you weren't able to go, you pencil it in for next year. We should be making an announcement hopefully soon about what we're doing and when it's happening. But, yeah, next week we'll be returning back to our normal show format. We're going to be discussing Barbie, the characters from we're doing the movie now, right? Like, what like, I know we're doing Barbie stuff. What exactly are we doing?
We're talking about Barbie,
like the movie Barbie, or just going back to talking about like the movie. I mean the actual action figure.
We're talking about the movie.
Okay.
Barbie the movie. So we're talking about Barbie and Ken. And Barbie and Ken. And Barbie and Barbie. And Midge and Alan.
Alan.
And Weird Barbie.
I imagine Alan says his name like Matt Damon in, you know, Team America. Alan. Although, like you said, the Michael Cera was very good at playing him. Yeah, so we're going to be talking Barbie now that we've got that squared away. And we're going to be...
There was nothing to square away. I knew what we were talking about.
Right, but I couldn't remember.
We've already had conversations about the
we
doll.
We have.
And then we had conversations about Barbie's friends and Ken and Alan and whatnot. You know, the dolls leading up to the film.
I'm trying to remember.
So
I
now
am so
we're
going to
talk about the film.
I'm not high, though. Not this time.
Oh, my God. So, speaking of high, right? We got it's very delicious chocolate.
From INSA.
So it's like this s'mores bar chocolate. Anyways, Patrick doesn't know dosages and was like, oh, here, have a whole square.
I know how many it is. But I couldn't math well.
And it's like, okay, like I could probably, because I was like, oh, maybe I'll just do half. And he's like, no, it's only 5 mgs. It's fine. And we'd had like these peanut butter cups that were 5 mgs before. And like, I could deal with that. That's fine. No, each square breaks in half to become a triangle.
The triangle is five mgs.
So I had 10 mgs. And here's the thing. I do not do well being high. And that's what I was. I got high.
We were both super high.
Yeah. Everything was in slow motion.
I came out to the living room to see what she was doing, and she was staring at the TV with some popcorn. I said, what are you doing?
I get popcorn.
Yeah, I see that. Like, are you hungry?
I'm so high.
I was watching Drag Race, UK versus
the world. You had Drag Race on. At one point, I look at her, and she's kind of staring to the right of the TV. I'm like, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
What are you doing?
Nothing. What are you doing?
But, like, it didn't hit me fully. At least I started feeling like that weird floaty sensation, but it took a while. But like, I should have known because I was in my studio here looking at some of the footage, like trying to get some of the footage from shooting my latest film, which again was the day before Dead of Winter. And I ate like half a box of Cheez-Its. And 2 Hershey's cookies and cream full-size candy bars. Then went out. It was like, well, I should probably eat dinner. Ate some leftovers from the Mexican that we had the night before. Then ate some of the prop food that was left over from the shoot on Saturday. So I had, like, 2 full meals and, like, 2 days' worth of snacks. And then she was like, you want ice cream? And I was like, yeah. And I got the ice cream, and I just kind of sat there for a while, and I was like, I don't think I can eat any ice cream. And I get super giggly, and like, we're watching Bob's Burgers, and to be fair, it was a funny episode, but it was a funny episode I've seen 57 times, so I shouldn't have been like riotously laughing the way I was, but I did. And then she'd look at me, she's like, you're high, which apparently was the funniest goddamn thing that anyone's ever said ever, because I lost my shit again. So that was fun. And we did this because we're like, man, we're too tired to go shopping and buy some melatonin gummies because we left work late. And it's like, I just want to go home. And I was like, ha-ha, I have some edibles at home, some infused chocolate, which, by the way, the chocolate is fucking amazing. It's so good. It's so good. The peanut butter cups, awesome. We've had those a couple times. They're delicious. But these, like, I love s'mores. It's like, you can barely taste the weed that's in it. But you definitely feel it. But yeah, so that was fun.
Yeah, it was.
We slept so well.
I couldn't feel like. So we were eating dinner, like Patrick said, and like I couldn't. I could just eat, and I kept eating. like, I couldn't feel myself get full. Like, so I just kept eating. I was like a goldfish, like, just going to eat till my stomach exploded, I guess. And my hands were cold. And, like, I was really aware that my hands were cold. Like, my hands felt like icicles. And it felt weird. And, yeah, it was a weird, and, like, everything was in slow motion. And, like, RuPaul was in slow motion. And it was weird.
She was all like, they call him fingers, but I've never seen him fing. That didn't actually happen. But, all right, so I think that's a good place to wrap up. Because we did just take 5 milligrams this time of the chocolate, and I still have to edit this episode together. So I think with that being said,
we will see you next Thursday.